Blog Talk Radio.
Morning. Welcome live to Richmond, Virginia, where you're listening to What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries in Richmond, Virginia. We want to thank you for joining us today, and if you'd like to be part of the broadcast, you can give us a call at 347-857-1322, and we'll get you on the air and hear what your comments and your thoughts are about today's topic. Today, I'm excited. This is kind of a milestone for What Does the Word Say, because we're going to actually finish up the book of John today. We've got chapters 20 and 21 to do, so we're going to get those done today. And then next week, we're going to begin a new series on the kingdom of God. So I am really excited about that. And I hope that you have enjoyed this series. We're going to put it all together on CDs and DVDs. Well, CDs anyway. And then we'll also have it on our website, which is dmcministries.net. Please go out there and avail yourself to all the resources that we have available. We have books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more. You can also check out every edition of our newsletter, the Progressive Walk. That's an exciting publication to get. And we certainly believe that that by reading and taking that in, that you will be blessed as well. Because believe it or not, in this world, that's what we have is a progressive walk. We go from point A to point B, to point C, D, E, and beyond, and every one of those steps is a progression. God is a God of processes, and so we thank you for listening and sharing and being with us in that project as well. I want to pray real quick. Father, we want to thank you today, Lord, for everybody that's gathered together with us. We thank you, Lord, for your word that goes out and accomplishes that which it is meant to accomplish and does not return unto you void. We thank you, Father, for your angels that are encamped around about us to bear thee up in thy hands, to keep thee in thy way, lest we dash our foot against a stone. And, Father, we believe, according to your word, that no weapon formed against us can prosper. We thank you, Lord, that you called us and that you loved us before we could ever love you. And we thank you that you are the fulfillment of our life and that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so that's what we want to do today, Lord. We want to come together and we want to feast on the word of God and so that we can glean what it is that you would have us to know and be able to apply it directly to our lives. So, Father, we just want to thank you and we'll just give you the honor, the glory, and the praise in Jesus' name. Now, I also want to for you to keep Pastor Godfrey Kasiri in your hearts and prayers. He is headed to Uganda today. He has a relative, I'm not sure if it's I think it's his aunt, that is very sick. And so he's going over there to try and see what he can do to help that situation. So please pray for him. He's also been sick during this time that I was in the hospital. He was sick as well. And he had a big water leak in his basement. So it kind of flooded his basement and has made things a little bit difficult. So please lift him up in prayer as well. Now, next week, we're going to start this series on the kingdom of God. And I am blessed to have my pastor, Pastor Brian Stadalski, or more affectionately, we like to call him Pastor Ski, will be with us on the broadcast. And we'll share some thoughts and ideas and as we begin to explore the kingdom of God. And so this has been a long series. It has gone on for some, I think, 3 months even despite the 2 months that I was gone. And so we're going to package all of this together so that you can take advantage of the tremendous blessing that studying the book of John has been to us. And we believe that it has been to you as well. John is my favorite book in the Bible because it's just such an intimate relationship with Jesus. And it really, really, really talks about some of the things that Christians struggle with on a daily basis. And so we are grateful that we've had this opportunity. I'm actually teaching this class at Life Christian University. If you're interested in going to a Bible college, then please check us out. We're at 112 England Street, Suite B. It's Life Christian University. We're a satellite campus of the main campus, which is in Tampa, Florida. And all of your big name, you know, preachers and teachers, Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland, all of those guys like that, have all graduated from there with their doctorate degrees. And so we are teaching that class right now, the Book of John. We're starting Saturday, be in our second week. And so, you know, can you imagine it's taken me almost 4 months to preach this and teach this on the radio, and I got to do it in 4 weeks. So we are really rocking and rolling. But it's an awesome study, and you're welcome to avail yourself of that. If you'd like to go to Bible college, give us a call. Call the church, 804-798, I think it's 0019, I believe is what the phone number is. I'll find out for sure and let you know next week. But give us a call there, and we will give you all the information that you need to get started going to Bible college. And you can also get your associate's degree. You can get a certificate. You can get your bachelor's degree, your master's degree, your doctorate, and even your PhD. So if that's something that interests you, and certainly if you're going to do any traveling around the world, it's nice to have those credentials as well. But even more important is the knowledge that comes from studying the Word of God. So praise God. So let's see. Coming up this weekend, we have a guest speaker, and I cannot remember what his name is at our church at Breakout Ministries International. It's up on England Street, 112 England Street, Suite B. But please avail yourself of that. And then coming up on Easter, we're having a big service then. We're going to actually feed some folk, have a breakfast for everybody, preach the word, and then just have some time of fellowship along with each other. So we would love to have you sharing that with us as well. My new book, DWJD, Do What Jesus Did, is available online. You can go out to our website at www.dmcministry.net and go to the resource page, and that will give you all the information you need to know about that. If there's anything we can ever do for you, then don't hesitate to give us a call at 804-909-7339. We'd love to speak with you. If you want us to speak in your church or do a conference or just, you know, you got a question and you need a prayer request, then just give us a call. We love to take care of those kind of things. That's what this is all about. And so today we're excited about finishing up the book of John. We have two chapters to go, 20 and 21. And there's really not a lot of commentary because it's pretty straightforward on what has been going on. What's happened thus far is that Jesus has been nailed to the cross. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and all that stuff were thinking that he was going to be the triumphant king of the Jews, and yet he came in as a humble servant, and they just really didn't know how to react on that. They were kind of befuddled, if you will. So let's go to I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. And I'll be making some references to the Amplified as well, but I'll let you know when that's happening. Verse 1 in chapter 20, the subtitle here is The Empty Tomb. And now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, which we believe is John, and said to him, or to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Hallelujah. Now Peter therefore went out and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple, John, outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and there he saw the linen clothes lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also and saw and believed, for as yet they did not know where Jesus had been put. I believe the scripture that said that he must rise again from the dead, and then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Hallelujah. Now, it's very important to remember here that Jesus had prophesied all of this. He said that you know, if you remember, that you can tear down the temple, but in 3 days it'll be rebuilt. They still don't have a clue of what that means yet. They're still not there. They will be. They'll get it. But right now they don't. And so we just want to make sure that you understand that this is still a work in process as far as the scripture goes. These guys had been with him for 3.5 years, and really, 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 you know, had a glimpse of what was going on, but they really didn't know exactly what was happening. Okay. So a lot of their responses were emotional, because that's what they were. That was their natural response, and that's where they were living. They were living in the natural and not in the spirit, mainly because the spirit had not come yet, and they really totally did not understand exactly what that was all about. All right, let's keep reading verse 11. But it says, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in the white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which means to say teacher. Jesus said to her, do not claim. Hold on just a second here. Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and he had spoken these things to her. Glory be to God. And so we see that she was excited because she'd finally been able to see Jesus again after he was dead and buried. And the question of where she had been laid had been answered. And so glory be to God, that was a cool thing. Hold on just 1 minute, we're going to take a quick break. Okay, we're back. In verse 19, it says, in the same day at the evening being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood up in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit, and if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Hallelujah. And so that was pretty exciting there that he actually breathed on them the Spirit. And so now they're filled with the Spirit of God. Glory be to God. It's awesome. And so that was their commissioning. They were being sent out to do the same thing that Jesus had done. In verse 24, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciple, therefore, said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now this is Thomas. Thomas is just crazy. He says, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your fingers here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, this is very, 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 very important for us to get this point right here. Glory be to God. Thomas, who was one of the 12 disciples who had been with Jesus for 3.5 years, had to actually see the nail prints in his hand and then stick his hand in his side in order to believe. So we hear people all the time say, well, I got to see it to believe it. Well, I'm here to tell you folks that if you don't believe it, you'll never see it. And if you did see it, you probably still wouldn't believe it. Glory be to God. And so this is called operating by faith. So what he's saying here in verse 29, he says, Thomas, because you have seen me and you have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Some of the other translations say, well, Thomas, you're a great man because you've seen this and believed it. But greater will be those who come after you that have not seen it and yet they did believe it. Hallelujah. And so that's exciting stuff right there. That really is pretty cool. And so we need to really understand, who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And when we believe by faith, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, then we're going to see great and mighty miracles in our life. Verse 30 says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So we see that right here, the power of his name. His name is supreme. His name is a conqueror. His name is victor. His name is a validator. His name is redeemer. And so we want to make sure that we understand that and are able to take advantage of all of those attributes of Jesus. One of the things to remember is that all of this was done for us, because he says that he's known us from before the beginning of time. He's had thoughts for us, and they're for good and not for evil. They're for a future and a hope. And so sometimes in life, when things get kind of rough and you get a little bit down, just remember that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins. Not only the sins that you'd already committed, but the ones that you're doing right now and the ones you're going to do tomorrow. He's already forgiven you for that. And so it's important for us, as we do what Romans chapter 12 says, which is, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's very, very interesting for us to take advantage of that and be able to use that to promote the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But if you don't believe it, then you're never going to see it. But the Bible says, if you believe, so there's a big if there. If you don't believe, well, then that's okay. I mean, that's your privilege and your prerogative. You don't have to believe the Word of God. But if you believe the Word of God, then you will see the glory of God. Now, what is the glory of God? Well, the glory of God is the presence of God. Hallelujah. And so we are just thankful beyond all compare that we're actually able to see the presence of God on the face of this earth in all of the things that He's created. And He says that He manifests His presence. He manifests His glory, which is His presence, through His creation. Well, if you look at the birds, the trees, the rain falling today here in Richmond, Virginia, the snow that came down the other day, all of that is a direct result of the glory of God. It's the presence of God. And so we have to believe that. If we don't believe that, then we're not going to receive any of the benefits that go along with that. But Thomas has proven right here beyond the shadow of a doubt that he had to see it to believe it. But he says, greater will be those who come after you. And that's a direct reflection on you. That's a direct statement that says, greater will be Dwayne or Linda or Godfrey or Deborah, or put your name in there. Greater will you be because you believed it and did not see it. Hallelujah. And so you're going to be able to acquire all of the attributes that come with Jesus and really be a strong disciple of the Lord. So that is exciting. And that finishes up our chapter 20. So the only one we have left is chapter 21. Hallelujah. It's almost a little disappointing to finish this up, but we're going to go ahead and do it anyway. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. All right. Let's start in chapter 2, chapter 21, verse 1. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this war away, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. Now, it's pretty interesting to really study that out and find out exactly what he's talking about. Now, he's been with Jesus for 3.5 years, glory be to God. And things have gone well. You know, he's learned a lot. But after he denied Jesus 3 times, and then he just says, I quit. I'm going fishing. And so praise God. Hallelujah. hallelujah. So he just decides that he's going to go fishing. He's had enough of it. Things didn't turn out the way that he thought they should. And so he just decided that that's it. He's going to go fishing. Now, it's very interesting because that happens to a lot of Christians. We go through a little bit of trouble and we go, screw it. I'm going to go back to the way I was before. And that's not a good thing. Okay. That's not good at all. But nevertheless, that is what we do. That's our nature. So we just kind of give up. But he's fed up. He's had enough of it. So he's going to go back and go fishing, because that's what he's familiar with. He's going to return back to where he was before. So praise God. So it's exciting. And not only him, but some of the other disciples went with him as well. So, you know, it's like, okay, guys, you know, things didn't work out that way. We're done. Let's go ahead and go back to doing what we know how to do, which is fishing and making money. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's look at one other aspect of this as well. Let me move my paper here. All right, in verse 4, he said, they said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, nope. And he said to him, well, cast your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that, glory be to God, let me turn my page here. Just hate it when pages stick together and won't turn correctly. It was the Lord. He ran out on his outer, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat to the, because they were not far from land, but the about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. And then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it. And bread, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. So once again, Jesus is getting ready to prepare a meal for these guys and to feed them in their unbelief. I think one of the most interesting things is the fact that he was there and he knew exactly what they had been doing all night. They'd been fishing off the left side of the boat. And for some reason, that just didn't work. Now, that happened to me one time down at Virginia Beach on the pier. The water was coming in, or the tide was coming in. So generally fishing, you know, is pretty good when the tide's going in or the tide's going out. I was fishing off the left side of the pier, and the Lord says, go to the other side. And I'm going, surely you're jesting me, Lord. He said, no, go to the other side. So I went over to the other side and caught 5 buckets full of fish. It was absolutely awesome. So that was just a typical example of the Lord, you know, using that as an analogy. Hallelujah. And so that's the way it is in our life. Sometimes we fish in the wrong pond, and we need to make sure that we stay in touch with Jesus and find out exactly where it is that we're supposed to be. Hallelujah. All right. Excuse me. All right. Now let's go to verse 11. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to him, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. And this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Jesus restores Peter. So in verse 15, he says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, then feed my lambs. Hallelujah. Verse 16 says, he said to him again a second time, Simon, now son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. In verse 17, he said to him the third time, he said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Hallelujah. And so we remember that back in the garden of Gethsemane, that Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. Well, this was the point where he was restored. He was restored back. He was forgiven of his sins. He was restored back to his rightful position as a son, if you will, of God. And he knew now that his death was not going to be just a normal death like most people. There was going to be something a little bit different. All right, in verse 20, it says, then Peter, turning away, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, following who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who will betray you? And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this? Hallelujah. And then this man, Jesus said to him, if I will that he will remain until I come, What is that to you? You follow me. Now, you know, that's an interesting point right there, because a lot of times people ask questions, and there's nothing wrong with asking questions, okay? But a lot of the things that people get hung up on are really, really not all that important. We need to be focused on exactly, you know, what it is that we're doing. We need to make sure we keep the main thing, and of course the main thing is Jesus. And so when we do that, then we eliminate a lot of the pitfalls that we run into in our life, and then we're also able to be much more effective when it comes to ministering the word of God. Hallelujah. All right, verse 23, then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die, yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books, but it would be written, Amen. And so that's the end of the book of John. That's the end of chapter 21. And folks, I'm going to tell you one thing. You really need to go back and read, you know, at least a chapter in John as often as you can, because there's so many nuggets in there, so many things that can be of help to you, and so much insight into the world. And we'll be coming back to it, you know, next week and beyond as we go through the kingdom of God, because there's a lot of stuff there. We'll also be going through Matthew, I think it's Matthew chapter 4 through 6, where he talks about the Sermon on the Mount, and that where he's always talking about the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like. And so that's what, you know, that's what we want to be able to study. We want to know exactly what our place is on the face of this earth. We want to know exactly what our roles and responsibilities are. And if we do that, then we can operate efficiently and effectively on this earth while we still manifest the presence of God and live in the kingdom of God. So hallelujah. All righty. Well, listen, I just want to thank you guys for persevering with us. I want to thank you for your comments and your suggestions, your questions that we've answered throughout throughout this journey. The journey is by no means over. But it is definitely moving to to another place. And so we want to thank you for being participants in this process. And we also want to thank you for sharing your resources and your prayers with us as we do the work of God. That's all we care about, is being a blessing to you and being a blessing to God. And we want to do the things that he's called us to do. Hallelujah. And so we're going to end this show today a little early because we've finished our assignment. We've done exactly what we're supposed to do. And I'm not going to sit here and just talk for another 15 or 20 minutes just to hear myself talk. I don't want to say things that are not necessary, and I know when the anointing is gone, and the anointing has left the building. Amen. So we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you so much for being part of our ministry. And if there's anything that we can do to help you, please don't hesitate to give us a call at 804-909-7339 or email us at dmc@dmcministries.net. Check out our website, dmcministries.net, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed and let the Spirit reign.